Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And you're joining us for our lesson called Sitting Alone. So whether you are sitting alone or whether you are enjoying our time with friends, you have a lot to learn here at Studio Classroom today. Now, my first question for you is, what would you do if you saw someone sitting alone at school? It's lunchtime, everyone's at the cafeteria, and you see someone sitting alone. Nathaniel, what would you do?
Well, it really depends who they are. If I know who they are, I might sit with them. If I don't know who they are, I don't want to assume that they are lonely either. So it kind of just depends who they are.
It depends on who they are. What about you, Carolyn? How would you feel about this? What would you do?
Well, if I saw someone sitting alone, I might walk up to them and ask if they had anyone sitting with them or if it would be okay if I sat down and joined them for lunch.
I think that's a very polite thing to ask. Well, friends, we're going to enjoy a conversation between two friends, Mary and Jane. Let's see what they're talking about right now.
Sitting alone. How should you treat an unpopular student? Mary and Jane are eating lunch in their school cafeteria.
It looks like Sally is sitting by herself again today. Let's invite her to eat with us.
I think our table's full.
We could pull up a chair and make some room.
Yeah, but people might notice and think we're friends with her.
What's wrong with that?
She's so weird. If we sit with her, people will think we're weird too and won't want to be friends with us.
I don't think everybody will quit being our friends just because we're nice to her.
Hello, listeners. This is your word, Lady Ellen. Have you ever seen someone sitting by themselves and asked yourself whether you should go over and speak to them? In this month's Point of View article, we'll be discussing this very topic. But first, here are your key words. Unpopular. Unpopular is an adjective. Among teachers, the spinning teacups were an unpopular ride. Weird. Weird is an adjective. Barbara is weird. She refuses to go anywhere without her parrot sitting on her shoulder. Tag along. Tag along is a phrasal verb. Brian often tags along with his dad when he goes to the computer store. Excel. Excel is a verb. Practicing every day helps David excel at basketball. Your more information words are get rid of. Get rid of is an idiom. Reach out. Reach out is a phrasal verb. Now, let's get started with the article.
Today we're looking at a point of view article, and here's the topic. It's in the deck. How should you treat an unpopular student? Many of us have had to think about this, how we should treat someone who is unpopular, and we want to talk about this word today, unpopular, because it's in the word bank. Unpopular. Let's talk about how we can use this word. Of course, it is the opposite of popular. Something that is popular is something that everyone enjoys, everyone seems to like, or most people anyway. But how could we use this word unpopular, Carolyn?
Well, if something is unpopular, then it is not popular. The UN at the beginning of the word shows us it is not something. And you might say, oh, well, that band was really popular a few years ago, but now they're kind of unpopular. No one really listens to them anymore. How else might you use this word, Gabe?
Well, maybe someone has an idea that everyone likes. It's a popular idea. Or you might say that that's kind of a strange idea. It's an unpopular idea around here. So there are different things that can be popular or unpopular. And if you're talking about people that are unpopular, it could just mean that not many people know them, or it could mean that people actually don't like them. It could mean different things here.
That's true, and I think Carolyn made a good point. Something that's popular now, after a few years or even after a few months, may not be popular later. Okay, let's look at the setup of this conversation. The first sentence in this article says, Mary and Jane are eating lunch in their school cafeteria. So that's what's going on, and now we're going to review what Mary and Jane said. Now today, let's have Carolyn, you can be Mary, and Gabe, are you comfortable playing Jane?
Well, I guess nobody else can. I mean, it's either you or me, Nathaniel. I'll be Jane. I'll be Jane.
Better that it's
okay.
You. Yeah. Okay, please, let us get started, Carolyn.
Yes, Mary. It looks like Sally is sitting by herself again today. Let's invite her to eat with us.
I think our table is full.
We could pull up a chair and make some room.
Okay, thank you both very much. That's a very good start, but we have reached our first phrase that we need to talk about. First, though, I do want to mention that at the beginning, Mary says it looks like Sally is sitting by herself again. So they have seen Sally several times, which is important about this point of view article. They know who she is, and they've noticed that she sits by herself. But right now we want to talk about this phrase, make some room, or to make room. It sounds kind of strange to make room, but we do use this phrase, and we use it quite often. How could we use this phrase, Gabe?
Well, when you make room for somebody, like Mary and Jane might make room for Sally, that means they move their chairs a little bit so that there is another space where Sally could sit. I could also use it to talk about food. Maybe I feel like I'm full, but then dessert is coming soon. I'll make room for dessert. I can always make room for dessert. How might you use that phrase, Carolyn?
Well, if you make room for something, then you are making extra space to put something there. So you can make room for dessert. Mm-hmm. You could also say, oh, this table is so full, but I need to make room to sit my books on it. So you have to move things out of the way.
Sure. Both of these usages are very likely usages. And you might also have it in a more non-literal way if you need to make room for something in a program. To add another little bit to your program, you can also make room for that. Okay, let's continue with the dialogue.
I think it's Jane. Okay. Yeah, but people might notice and think we're friends with her.
What's wrong with that?
She's so weird.
Okay, Jane, thank you. Your attitude is not very good, but that's not why I'm interrupting you.
Oh.
It's because we need to talk about this word, weird. Weird. You might have heard this word weird before, and it's in our word bank today. Weird, it kind of means strange or odd or unusual. Mm-hmm. When could we use this word, Carolyn?
Well, maybe you had a very strange dream last night. You could say that, oh, I had this really weird dream. I was flying, and then there was an elephant, and I don't know what's going on. It's very weird.
Yeah.
So you can have a weird dream. How else might you use this word?
Well, I was just going to talk about my weird dream, where I was in a room with President Barack Obama and Condoleezza Rice. I don't know what we were talking about, but that situation was just kind of weird. It was a weird situation. When would that ever happen? Only in a weird dream.
That's true. And it is weird to think of Gabe in American politics. But I think we are all weird in our own way. So it's okay. Jane, if you would continue.
Yes. I'll say that again. She's so weird. If we sit with her, people will think we're weird too, and won't want to be friends with us.
I don't think everybody will quit being our friends just because we're nice to her.
Okay, thank you both very much. This is an interesting point of view article. Who do you agree with? Do you think that it would be good to sit with Sally, or do you think you would be like Jane and would rather not go? What do you two think so far? Carolyn?
Well, I think I'm very similar to Mary, so I would like to invite her. So I'm very glad to be reading Mary's part.
Okay, it's good that you are playing Mary's part. How about you, Gabe?
Well, I think that many people do also understand James' perspective on the situation. So far, they're both saying things that are pretty understandable, but I hope that I would also be more like Mary.
Okay, we're going to continue with this later, but right now, we are going to see Michelle in the language lab.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 这篇文章的第一个重点我们来看 unpopular 这个形容词。UN 这个字首有否定的意思。Popular 是指受欢迎的，所以 unpopular 是指不受欢迎的。例如 increasing taxes is an unpopular proposal,But it will solve the problem. 增税是一个不受欢迎的提案，但是却能够解决问题。或者是 The movie star used to be unpopular in high school. 这位电影明星高中的时候并没有很受欢迎。接下来我们看的是 weird 这个形容词。Weird 是指奇怪的或者是怪异的。例如 The homeless guy's weird behavior is kind of scary. 这个流浪汉怪异的举止有点可怕。或者是 security followed this weird looking guy to see what he was up to. 保全跟着这个样貌怪异的人看看他要做什么。
We're enjoying a conversation today between Mary and Jane, two friends, and they're talking in the cafeteria about an unpopular student.Should they invite Sally to join them, or should they not invite her to join them for lunch? Well, they both have different ways of looking at the situation. Mary thinks it's good that Sally should join them. Jane doesn't like that idea so much. Let's continue and see what the rest of their conversation sounds like.
Sitting alone.
But if we invite her to join us, we may never get rid of her. She'll tag along with us all the time.
What do you have against her?
Well, she's unpopular. She's not very pretty. She's painfully shy. She doesn't excel in any subjects. And she doesn't belong to any clubs.
Maybe she just feels nervous around people she doesn't know. She might be less shy and more willing to participate.If someone reached out to her a little bit.
Maybe. But why does that someone have to be us?
And some of you might ask the same question that Jane has just asked. Okay, Gabe, are you ready to get back into character as Jane?
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Jane's first line after the break. But if we invite her to join us...We may never get rid of her.
Okay, thank you, Jane. I got to interrupt you again. I'm sorry, but we need to talk about this little phrase, get rid of. It's actually a more information phrase today, but we want to just show you how you can use it. If you're getting rid of something, you're removing it, or maybe you're getting away from it yourself. You might try to get rid of mosquitoes in your apartment.
Sure.
What else would you try to get rid of, Carolyn?
Well, if you have a lot of trash in your room, you need to get rid of it. Otherwise, you might get mice or rats. You should get rid of your trash.
I think another thing that you need to get rid of is negative vocabulary. Sometimes you might hear people using a lot of bad language, things that don't sound very good. Maybe in a marriage, someone might use the word divorce. Maybe you want to get rid of that kind of talk.Don't mention those things anymore. Get rid of it.
Okay, very good. And I think now we can move on, Jane. I'm sorry for interrupting.
It's okay. Here I go. She'll tag along with us all the time.
And now I have to stop you again, because we need to talk about this phrase, tag along. Tag along, that's an important phrase today. Let's look at that.Tag along means to go with. So maybe if you see a group of people going somewhere that you're interested in going to as well, you might say, can I tag along? Do you mind if I tag along? Are there other ways that we could use this, Gabe?
Well, actually, that sentence kind of occurred to me too. Mind if I tag along? I think one reason that people ask this is because usually tagging along is not perceived as a good thing. It's kind of a negative thing. Oh, we don't want to let them tag along. Or we feel bad if we just tag along. So you might ask that question, can I tag along? Or do you mind if I join you guys? Do you mind if I tag along? How might you use that phrase, Carolyn?
Well, you can use this when you're talking about people, but you can also use it to talk about animals. While I was taking a walk, there was a dog tagging along. He was walking along with me, even though he wasn't my dog.
Okay, these are all good examples of using this phrase, tag along. I bet that you could use this phrase even today. It's quite common. Okay, Mary, would you please give us the next line?
Oh, yes. What do you have against her?
Okay, thank you very much. I have to stop you again because now we want to visit Liz in the grammar gym. Let's see what she wants to tell us today.
Hello, friends. How are you today? My name is Liz, and thanks for joining me here at the grammar gym. And here is our grammar tip sentence from today's Point of View article. What do you have against her? Our focus is on the phrase, to have against someone or something. It's an expression you'll hear native speakers use to talk about disliking someone or something because of a certain reason. So, if you're wondering why your friend hates watching foreign films, you can ask, what do you have against foreign films? Or, if you want to explain why your classmate won't join everyone for dessert, she has something against sweets. And if you want to explain how you honestly don't dislike somebody, you can say, I have nothing against that person. If you turn to today's grammar tip section, you'll find more example sentences there. And that's it for today. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you very much, Liz. Okay, Jane, you have another chance again to tell us your next line.
Yes. Well, she's unpopular. She's not very pretty. She's painfully shy. She doesn't excel in any subjects, and she doesn't belong to any clubs.
Wow, very well done, Jane. That was a very long sentence. I'm impressed that you got all the way through it. Okay, but there are a few things that we need to talk about in this sentence. And the first one is this use of the word painfully. Painfully, it's a bonus word today, but it's really we want to talk about how you're using that in this sentence. It says painfully shy. This bonus phrase can be used in situations that are kind of uncomfortable. If someone is painfully shy, it means they're so shy that it's kind of uncomfortable to be around them. But you can use it in other ways as well. Meeting new people can be painfully awkward. That's kind of similar. But what are other ways that we could use this word painfully in this way, Carolyn?
Well, one way that I use it quite often is painfully obvious. If something is very clear, its meaning is very obvious, but someone still doesn't understand, you might say, it's painfully obvious that they don't understand this very easy thing. So, painfully obvious.
That's pretty funny. Sometimes a riddle might be understood by everybody except one person. You might say, oh, so painfully obvious, why can't you just get it? I also might use the phrase, someone is painfully slow. Oh, everything they do takes such a long time. They are painfully slow.
Okay, so something is so clear, you don't get it. It almost hurts me that you don't get it. Or someone is being so slow, it almost feels like it's hurting me that you're so slow. That's kind of the idea behind this. Well, we also want to talk about another word. It's a word bank word today. Excel. Excel. Let's talk about this word. It means to be very good at something in particular. Maybe someone is no good at spelling, but they might actually excel at writing stories. Even if they can't spell words very well, they might excel at writing stories. What's another case where we could use this, Gabe?
Well, you might ask the question, what do I excel in? What are my talents? What am I good at? Think about that. What do you excel in? And you want to focus on those strengths. Carolyn, how might you use that word?
Well, I am not very good at math, but my sister excels in it. She is extremely good at math, and that is her college major.
Okay, very good. Now, Carolyn, we can go back to you because Mary has the next line.
Oh, wonderful. Maybe she just feels nervous around people she doesn't know.
Ah, good point, Mary. But for right now, we want to go to the info cloud to talk to Steve and Kim.
Hi, friends. Have you ever noticed there are basically two types of people at a party? Those who are sociable and talk a lot, and those who just sit quietly in a corner, maybe reading a magazine or nursing a drink.
There are different terms that describe each of these kinds of people. A very talkative, sociable person might be called a social butterfly. Just as a butterfly flits from flower to flower, a social butterfly goes from one group of people to the next, either gossiping or making small talk.
And a person who lies low and doesn't want to meet people at a party might be called a wallflower. The term comes from the image of a person isolating herself from areas of social activity at dances and parties. This person is afraid to dance and so chooses to remain close to a wall in the dance hall where she feels safe.
Right. A wallflower is a person who doesn't like being social, is uncomfortable at a party or social gathering, and was possibly forced to go by well-meaning friends.
Sometimes we use the word loner or recluse to describe such a person, but those are a bit stronger, and they sound more negative than wallflower.
Social butterfly, on the other hand, can have a negative connotation, but it's mostly used in a humorous or teasing manner. You're going out again tonight? You're such a social butterfly.
什么是 wallflower? Wallflower 不是墙上的花, 有人翻译成壁花, 指的是一个很害羞的女孩, 她在参加舞会的时候, 大多数的时间都是跟其他害羞的女孩坐在靠墙的椅子上, 因为她没有男朋友, 也不善于跟男孩子打交道。 今天课文中的Sally应该算是个 wallflower, 相对于wallflower 是social butterfly, 也就是所谓的社交花蝴蝶, 交际花的意思。 这就是今天的Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。
Thanks, guys. Okay, let's finish out this part of the conversation for today.
Yes, me. She might be less shy and more willing to participate if someone reached out to her a little bit.
Maybe, but why does that someone have to be us?
Well, you might agree with Jane, or you might think that this is not a very nice thing to say. Let's go now to see Michelle in the language lab.
Okay, 接下来我们看的是 get rid of 这个成语。 Get rid of 后面的受词如果是事物的话, 意思是指丢掉或丢弃某个东西。 例如, we have to get rid of the junk in the garage. It takes up too much space. 我们得把车库里面不要的东西扔了,太占空间了。但是如果 get rid of 后面的受词是人的话, 意思就是指摆脱或者是甩掉某个人。例如, Irene finally got rid of the guy who was following her. Irene终于摆脱了那个跟踪她的人。 OK, 继续我们看的是 tag along 这个动词片语。 Tag 是指跟在后面或者是随从, 所以 tag along 是指跟随或紧跟。 例如, Pamela loves to shop, and she wants her husband to tag along. Pamela 很喜欢逛街, 而且她还要先生跟着。 如果要说明紧跟着谁, 是用 with 这个介系词。 例如, Promise you'll let me tag along with you when you go out. 当你出去玩的时候, 答应我一定要带我去。 And keep watching as our lesson continues.
Well, do you ever sit alone for lunch? You might have reasons for doing that. Do you all ever sit alone for lunch?
Yes.
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you for your answers. Well, I guess we'll see you next time when we continue to talk about this issue on Studio Classroom. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. Mrs. Thatcher's face was white now.
He didn't stay with us, said Mrs. Harper. Joe, have you seen Tom Sawyer this morning?
No, Mother.
Anxiety spread quickly. There were worried questions for the children and the young teachers. They all said they hadn't noticed whether Tom and Becky were on board the steamboat on the way home. It had been dark. Nobody had tried to make sure that everybody was there. At last, one young man said he was afraid they were still in the cave. The thieves were forgotten. The steamboat was made ready, and in less than half an hour, more than 200 men were hurrying towards the cave. All the long afternoon, the village seemed empty and dead. All night, the women waited for news. When morning came, the only message from the cave was,
"Send more candles and send food."
Mrs. Thatcher and Aunt Polly were sick with worry. The old Welshman came home, covered with candle drippings and very tired. He found Huck still in the bed that he had gone to after eating hardly any breakfast the day before. The boy was very ill with fever. The St. Petersburg doctors were all at the cave, so Widow Douglas came to look after Huck. 3 days and nights passed, and there was still no news from the cave. Sorrow began to rule in the village.